Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the chance to be together this evening. And God, I pray you will continue to use this service to honor you, God, and to help us know you better and in a deeper way. And it's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen. Give them another hand for a great job. Good evening. We welcome you and we welcome those who are watching online. Do you need a If you're new tonight or you don't know, we have these little sheets that you put into your binder. If you don't have a binder, you can get one after church. Do you have your sheets for tonight? If you need one, raise your hand. And Clayton and Brandon, who we practiced this four times today, are going to get you one. Gary's going to. I trust Gary more than Brandon and Clayton. Justin, would you go and get me another battery? Because I think this one's potentially bad. They would be happy. The battery goes out, doesn't mean you get to go home, so don't like get excited or anything. Okay, everybody's got a sheet that just about, not everybody, but we just about got them in the balcony. Everybody good? Good, good. Thank you, Justin. The Holy Spirit. What a great subject. Would you agree with that? The Holy Spirit. We are starting our second session this evening on the Holy Spirit. And we began last week looking at who is the Holy Spirit. And I want to do a quick review tonight. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. By the way, if you or someone don't get these verses or these fill in the blanks, we will have the answers next week, but we're not going to give you the cheat sheets tonight. I know how many of you are. You wouldn't fill in anything if you had the answers, would you? He is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the Spirit of God. He is part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a quick preview. In September, we're going to be a sermon series we're starting called Kickoff in Sunday mornings, and we're going to be in John 1 for about 4 weeks. And man, it starts off talking about God the Son, and it is, the sermons may not be any good, but the scriptures sure are good. They really are good. Romans 8:9 is a verse I would encourage you to memorize, and maybe there's easier translations to memorize than Romans 8:9. And we're going to go back to this in a moment because this is such a significant verse. But you, talking to believers, are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. How many of you think that's a significant verse? That's our jumping off point tonight, because what we're going to talk about tonight is, when does a person receive the Holy Spirit? How many of you believe it's important that you have the Holy Spirit? How many of you believe a lot of churches are operating without the Holy Spirit? And when you get ministers or church people who don't have the Holy Spirit, you have holy chaos. Or Andy, we might say unholy chaos, wouldn't you? It's not good. Okay. Looking at this, again, summing it up, we have one true and living God. We have one true and living God. We don't have three gods. We have one true and living God who, being one in essence, exists eternally in three distinct persons. Three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, don't raise your hand. You don't understand this, and neither do I. And anybody who does understand it, don't ever buy anything from them, because they're either dishonest or they're not smart. This is stuff we'll understand when we get, and you know the old song, we'll understand it better by and by. Y'all, you remember that song? We'll understand this better by and by. But I accept by faith that we have one God who's made himself known in three persons, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God who dwells with us and lives in the believer. In the next few weeks, we will be looking at God living in you. And my goodness gracious, what a wonderful thing that is to know that God, you're not a Christian tonight. Think about it. When you become a Christian, you have been given the right to go to heaven. Is that pretty good? All sins are forgiven. You have the open access to God for prayer and continual forgiveness. And God comes to live in you. Does it get any better than that? John 14:17 says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him. He's talking to His disciples then, and then, of course, to us, because He lives with you now, and later He will be in you. In you. That's what we want to talk about tonight. When do we receive the Holy Spirit? Now, this is really important. It's really important, and there are a lot of different views on this. So my suggestion on anything, we should stick as close to the Reader's Digest as possible. Thank you for that. Stick as close to the Bible as we can. How many of you would agree, when it comes to God, church, things like that, the Bible needs to be our starting and stopping point, doesn't it? Pharisees got in trouble because they said the Bible's not enough. We need to add 85 rules to everything God said. Ugh, that kills you, doesn't it? And the Sadducees were more liberal, and they said, we don't believe most of the Bible. And that's liberalism, and that kills you. So we want to stick as close to the Bible. That's so important. So here's a question for you. And here's an issue. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, and we talk about when we receive the Holy Spirit, it is confusing. Here's a couple of scenarios. Do you receive the Holy Spirit when someone lays hands on you and prays for you to receive Him? Do you receive the Holy Spirit when someone lays hands? Some of you are going, what are you talking about? You should know this if you've been in church. We're going to see in the scriptures where people lay hands on folks and they receive the Holy Spirit. Is that when you receive the Holy Spirit? My first church, I was 23, and you think I'm dumb and naive now? Multiply that times 400. And so you had older Christians who were kind of bullies at times because you're a young preacher. And even they're 35, they're a lot older than you. And I remember this guy, he was probably 35, and I thought, man, this guy's a geezer. Isn't that funny how age is subjective, isn't it? When I hear someone's 80 now, it's like, well, that's not that old. You know, when you're 20, somebody who's 80, that's Methuselah, isn't it? I mean, they're not even alive. And this guy came up to me and he said, Chris, you receive the Holy Spirit when people lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit. And he quoted some scripture. We'll see that in just a moment. Here's the second question. Is it clear you have received the Holy Spirit when you speak in tongues? Is that it? Hey, there's scriptural basis for this. By the way, in the near, not probably later, but this fall, we will look at speaking in tongues and try to get a biblical view of that. I remember hearing when I was a young Christian, a girl, she was probably close to my age at this time, we were probably 20, and she said, I was saved when I was 14, but I received the Holy Spirit when I was 16. Do you know what she was saying? What she was saying, what I found out later, was I was saved when I was 14, but I spoke in tongues when I was 16. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Have y'all ever heard this before? Surely you have. Here's the problem, and it is twofold. You and I tend to see life and spiritual life through whose lenses? Ours. So we look at things like the Holy Spirit, how church should be done, how life should be. We have a tendency to look at through our experiences and blinders. Would you agree? Okay. And now, stay with me, because this is going to sound heretical. The book of Acts can appear confusing here. It's not, but the book of Acts can be or appear confusing. Acts chapter 2, this is neat stuff. It's not original with me, but it will help you. Some people say you receive the Holy Spirit when hands are laid on you. Some people say you can evidence you've received the Holy Spirit when you speak in tongues. What is the truth is what we're trying to get to tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And read this last part with me. And they began. Y'all were speaking in tongues. I have no idea what y'all just said. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, man. Again, we're going to spend a session talking about this. This is tremendously neat. Jesus has gone back to heaven. They're in the upper room. This is the day of what? Day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit comes down for the initial indwelling believers, and they begin to speak in tongues, right? So we know there were no Baptists in that room, right? Now, if you read the context, and I'll give you, speaking in tongues, I think it's three or four different things, and I think it certainly can be legitimate. I'll just tell you that's where I'm coming from. What I believe it was here was the miraculous ability to speak in a foreign language they did not know. How many of you tonight, and if you raise your hand, you will come up here and you will speak it. How many of you can speak Mandarin Chinese? I would never do that on Sunday morning because we would have people who could. So if you walked out tonight, Justin and Ronnie walk out tonight. Paula and Melissa, you can imagine this. These two southern boys here. And you bump into two people from Asia who cannot speak English, and you begin to witness in Mandarin Chinese, would it be a miracle? It would be a miracle. It would be a miracle. It was a miracle. And this was a gift of tongues here. But they received the Holy Spirit, and what did they do immediately? What did they do immediately? They spoke in tongues. And then they tithed, but that just wasn't put in the Bible for you guys. Okay, remember that. Received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 41. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of who? The Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that number that day 3,000. So that's a pretty good revival, isn't it? I would love to go home Sunday night and post on Facebook, we had 3,000 saved Sunday morning. Wouldn't that be cool? It'd really be cool. Since we probably all have 1,000 here, that would really be cool, wouldn't it? Okay. They were saved and received the Holy Spirit. Didn't it just say that? Did they speak in tongues? No record of it at all. No record of it at all. Okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 12 through 17. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans, their sworn enemies, had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. You following me? Saved, or the Holy Spirit falls on the people originally at Pentecost, they speak in tongues. 3,000 are saved later. You have no reference of laying on hands or tongues, right? And now in Samaria, they lay hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. I think one thing that happened here was the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. And the apostles needed to know that God had really accepted them. And he did. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17 and 18, This is Paul. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, he has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized. Okay. He lays hands on him. Obviously, Paul is saved at this moment, and he receives the Holy Spirit. Hands were laid on. He receives the Holy Spirit. He didn't speak in tongues, though, did he? Did he? Thank you, church members. There's a method to this madness. I hope this is helping. It's helpful. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48. Even as Peter was saying these things, Peter had gone to the Gentiles now, the non-Jewish people who he didn't believe God would accept. And the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. The Jewish brothers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" Peter did not lay hands on them, did he? They were saved and received the Holy Spirit. And what happened when they received the Holy Spirit? They spoke in tongues. Peter goes to the Gentiles, non-Jewish people. He didn't want to go. They are saved as he's preaching. The Holy Spirit comes on them and in them. They receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. So what does all this show us? It shows us in Acts, the book of Acts, and here's what Acts is. Acts is an early history of the church, of Christianity, and of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. It shows us there's no set pattern. The pattern of receiving the Holy Spirit at the very first was there was no pattern. You say, "Preacher, that doesn't make sense." I hope it will before you leave. The pattern at the first was there was no pattern. People received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. People received the Holy Spirit and did not speak in tongues. People had hands laid on them and received the Holy Spirit. People did not have hands laid on them and received the Holy Spirit. I have spent a lot of time trying to help and debate people who said, if you receive the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, and they quote one of those verses. The only problem is they miss the other ones I just showed you. And I've spent time with people saying, if you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, someone's got to lay hands on you, and they quote some of those verses. The problem is they leave out some of the other verses. You see how important this is? If we don't have time, but there were reasons why these things happen. There were reasons, I think, that they needed to lay hands on them and see that God had accepted them. One of the clear evidences right off the bat was when they spoke in tongues. They needed to see these Samaritans and these non-Jewish people had been accepted by God. But if you try to make a pattern here, the problem is there's not a pattern. So what does that bring us to? It brings us to Romans 8:9 again. Romans 8:9. By the time Romans was written, the pattern of receiving the Holy Spirit appears to be established. You receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. I'm going to do my best to prove that to you from this verse in just a second. You receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. Romans 8:9, if you have the Spirit of God living, which literally means dwelling in you, when you are saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Please leave that verse up here. Let's walk through it just a second. Clearly, this is true because, listen to what this verse says. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. God wrote Romans. Amen? But you are not controlled by the sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ do not belong to Christ. That phrase, do not have, is an absolute negative. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not have Christ. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not have Christ. If you do not have Christ, you may be a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, a non-denominational person, but you are not a saved person. Is there any question? Okay, let's back up. If I was to ask anybody that's in Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, non-denominational, Assembly of God, Pentecostal church, if I was to ask any of them, do you have to have Jesus to be saved? They would say yes, wouldn't they? I mean, if they have basic beliefs, they would say yes. Some might disagree on the Holy Spirit. The problem is that we're not trying to be Baptist here. Baptists want to be biblical. We're just trying to be biblical. We're not trying to win an argument. But if Romans 8, 9 is just taken at face value, Reggie, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ, do you? And if you don't have Christ, you're not saved. Now, here's another thing that's important here. There's certainly different levels of maturity amongst Christians. Baby Christians, older Christians, there are immature worldly Christians, and there are devout, mature Christ followers. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, somebody who got saved 2 days ago is just as saved as any of us here, but there should be a difference in that person's understanding and maturity who's been saved for 50 years. But you can be saved and be living far from God too. But there is no such thing as Christians who have the Holy Spirit and Christians who do not have the Holy Spirit. When you get married on a Saturday. Justin, I pronounce you man and wife. You're married right then, aren't you? That's what I always tell them when I'm doing my premarital counseling. When we get to this point, you're done. If you're going to run, you better run before I say that. And you can tell the men start getting a little nervous, you know. So you're married, Justin, one hour after the wedding, right? The next day, are you married? Hopefully. Are you any more married, Ronnie, 10 years after that first day than you were on the first day? Remind me not to ask Ronnie any more questions. Things may be different, but you're just as married. Some of you, this church is so blessed. We've got people who've been married 60 plus years in here, 70 plus years. Ansel, how many years? Dickie, how many? 66? Do I hear 67? Do I hear 67? Otis and Elder have been married since right before the Civil War, I think it was. Bob, how long you and Sharon been married? Bob, I was just doing that to make sure you knew. I was trying to get you in trouble. Every time I ask Cindy that, she starts crying, so I stopped asking her. But when you've been married 20 years, you're not any more married than you were at day four. As a Christian, God may not have as much of you as he needs to have, but you got the Holy Spirit when you got saved, and you don't get any more of him. No, he needs to get a lot more of you sometimes, but you got him when you got saved. See, the question is ultimately, I believe when you look at Romans 8 and 9, I think it defines it. You get the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about tongues and things like that at another time. But you receive the Holy Spirit when you were saved. Because if the Word of God says, I don't have the Spirit, I'm not saved, then it's got to come in when I get saved. The problem a lot of Christians is we have him, we just have him quenched up in our big toe, don't we? See, the Bible says you can have the Spirit and quench the Spirit. And a lot of us need just to turn the Spirit loose. The problem, too, sometimes is that some of us we're religious, we're just not full of the Spirit. We don't have God. There's a really scary verse in Jude. It's in Jude chapter 5. How many chapters are in Jude, Bible scholars? One. This is God talking about religious people. Let's look at this. These are people who create divisions among you. They follow their own natural instincts because they do not. Read that last part. Why? Because they do not have God's Spirit in them. Those people are L-O-S-T, aren't they? They're lost people. Tonight, man, I want to ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit? I mean, do you have the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're a Christian and he's quenched up in your big toe. Let him loose. Turn him loose tonight. Let him have you. Maybe you are religious and you've got knowledge, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. And maybe tonight you need to give your life to Christ. We're going to have the guys or Justin, somebody's going to come, and we're going to do a brief invitation. Man, maybe you want to join the church. Maybe you want to get right with Christ or give your life to Jesus tonight. Let's stand. You come now.